The sermon this morning actually doesn't have to do with the scriptures you've heard tonight, other than the fact that it is about the birth of Jesus, but it's rooted in the scriptures we've heard for the last 3 or 4 weeks here at church, which is about Simeon and Anna. Simeon was an old man who came to the temple every day, and when Jesus was 8 days old, his parents brought him to the temple for the appropriate sacrifices, and Simeon recognized him as the Messiah. And this wonderful scene unfolded. I wanted to talk just briefly about that scene. When I was a child, J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings was one of my favorite books and trilogies. He wrote The Hobbit, which you may have heard, but then the three books that make up The Lord of the Rings. And I read them first when I was 8 or 9, and then multiple times as a teenager. But I would have to wait some 20 or 30 years to finally see it in the theater, brought to life. And you can quibble about how accurate that what the movie was. People always prefer the books to the movies and so forth. But I just love seeing it brought to life. And there was a particular scene in the third of the books, the third of the movies, that involved watchfires. And this is a portrayal of that scene. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about it, but I also wanted to tell you what brought this to mind. And I hope this won't embarrass Billy. Oh, good. I was talking to Billy Howell a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned that sermon you did one Christmas Eve about the watchfires. I was like, oh, it's always fun when somebody remembers a sermon. And he said, yeah, I think it was Christmas Eve, and I went and looked it up, and it was in 2003. So he had remembered this sermon for 19 years, and I thought, wow. In fact, that's really what prompted the whole month with Simeon and Anna, was going back and rereading that sermon, and I've kind of adapted it to redo it tonight. In the third of the books, the third of the movies, it's a wonderful allegorical-like story, full of biblical imagery. There's good and evil, and you know which is which. There's a big, bad, evil guy. There's also humans of all sorts. Some are very good. Some are kind of have mixed motives. Some are bad. But in this world that Tolkien created, there are two great kingdoms of humans. There's a lot of other stuff in there that you've heard of, elves and orcs and all that sort of thing. But there's two great kingdoms, but they're separated by this huge expanse, this great mountain range and this huge distance. And they don't really like each other. Sometimes they fight. They're at war. But they have created this system of communication in case there is ever some dire emergency that threatens all of humanity. They have these great towers, these piles of wood that can be lit to create a huge bonfire that can be seen across the mountain range for a couple of miles. And then 2 or 3 miles later, they would build another one. They've strung them out all the way across the mountain range for miles and miles and miles between the kingdoms. And they're guarded and they're kept safe so that if ever word needs to be passed quickly between the two kingdoms, it can happen. And as this movie unfolds, the particular kingdom that is being threatened by the great evil of the day, the king is kind of withdrawn. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to deal with it. And he's withdrawn. He's not facing the enemy. But the need is great. The hour has come that everything is at stake between good and bad in the world. And one of the brave hobbits, if you remember anything about Tolkien, climbs up in the one kingdom, up to this tower, and lights the watchfire. And from there, everyone down the line knows what to do. They see the first fire, and the next one's lit and lit, and with only a matter of minutes or an hour, the warning is passed to the other kingdom, which is ready to fight for good and come and wade into the battle. What does all that have to do with Christmas, with God, with the church, with the Bible? I see in that imaginary story of Tolkien's, I see what is played out in the story of Simeon and Anna. They are watchers who have been guarding the promise of God that has been passed down through the ages, like these watchfires Men and women who heard God's promise to deliver a world that has been terminally impacted by evil and sin, disobedience, turning from God. That's the story of the fall in Genesis. And yet, God sets this promise forth that says, I will redeem you, I will save you, I will come in your hour of greatest need and rescue you. And that story, like these great piles of wood, is passed on from generation to generation. It's even commanded in the Bible, tell these laws, these words, these stories of God to your children and to your children's children. Pass the good word on so that they will be ready when God answers the need and provides. And so that day in the temple, Simeon saw the baby and Mary and Joseph. And someone had taught him the promises of God. He had read the scriptures and he recognized the moment. The fire, the light of the world had been passed across time, across distance to Simeon. And he recognized it and said, you are the Messiah, the Christ of God, the light of the world, the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Anna also recognized what was happening in that moment and gave thanks and praise. And she went and told everyone she knew that the Messiah had arrived. Until that moment, when Jesus was born into the world and was recognized by the shepherds, we heard that story, by Mary and Joseph, who the angels told what was going to happen, to Simeon and Anna in the temple. Until that point, all the people of the world had were stacked wood piles of promise that in the hour of greatest need, God would provide. And at the birth of Christ, those watchfires were lit. Prophecies rang true. The symbols and metaphors in the Hebrew scriptures made sense. God's promises were kept. The light crossed all the boundaries, geographic, cultural, historical, language, to reach all people. Remember the angel's message we heard a minute ago? Good news of great joy for all people. And thinking about that great passing on of hope and of light, it makes me wonder, why are you here tonight? It is most likely that some person of faith in your life has lit the watchfire and told you about God, told you about the hope of Jesus Christ. It may be way back in the distant past. It may be as fresh as today. That faith in you may be burning strong and blazing. It may be just a little ember. You may be saying, what's going on? But someone has passed on the good word, passed on the light to you. And so I want to ask, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? This light in the imaginary story was passed, and somebody on the receiving end had to act. Say, the world's in trouble. Let's go. Let's go help. The light of the world has been born into the world. That's the story of Christmas. We sang it with our preschoolers this past week when we sang Happy Birthday to Jesus. The light has come into the world. What do you do with that? Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Do you carry it with you? Do you share it with someone else? This is the great gift of Christmas, the light. At the end of the service today, we're going to light candles and visually see that passing on of the good news of the light of Christ and the brightness that it produces. But the real act is when we walk out the doors. What do you do with this story that has been passed down through the ages faithfully to you today? So may God bless that word and his true story in Scripture, and may God bless you this Christmas.